Let's get to know more about New York Giants first round draft pick, Deontay Banks, cornerback out of the University of Maryland. To fill us in, we're going to hear from Nate Dickinson, host of Locked On Big Ten. That's coming your way next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedon today to get 10% off your first month. Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and we are continuing this week, all week long, of having our Locked On college hosts join us on the program so that they could give us a little bit more information about the New York Giants draft pick. And joining me on today's program to talk about first round draft pick Deontay Banks from the University of Maryland is Locked On Big Ten host Nate Dickinson. Nate, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Patricia. Looking forward to talking Big Ten with you, as always.
All right. Well, very exciting time for the New York Giants. They traded up one spot for Deontay Banks. Let's start off by just kind of getting your overall take on this young man. And, you know, he was, some people had him as a first round pick. Some people said he had more of a second round grade. What, tell me about his game, his overall game.
This is a guy who is a physical but fast corner is how I would describe it. He's one of the bigger corners out there, even 6 foot tall, nearly 100 or 200 pounds. So he's got some size to him, and that's how he likes to play the ball. I mean, he's going to be able to get up and press wide receivers on the outside. He wants to make you uncomfortable. If he's between you and the football and your quarterback underthrows it at all, wide receiver's not going to be able to get back and get in position to make that catch. That's the kind of guy that he is. But at the same time, 4.38. I mean, he's going to be able to run down the field with just about anybody as well. So this is a player who has a little bit of everything. This isn't one of those borderline first round picks where it's like there's this one glaring thing that may be holding him back. He has a little bit of all of it going for him, some size, a whole lot of speed. He's an incredibly good tackler. That's something that stands out to me when I watch the highlights just as much, if not maybe even more than what he does on the pass coverage. So he's someone who has a little bit of everything, and he can develop that little bit into a lot. He can be someone who can be really good right away at the NFL level.
One of the things that jumped out at me in the scouting reports about him is that he's a press man cover corner, which is something, of course, Wink Martindale, the Giants defensive coordinator, likes. This is also a young man who has length, size, but not a whole lot in terms of, I guess, ball hawking abilities. I mean, I think his numbers were kind of on the low side, if I'm not mistaken.
Numbers as far as
like interceptions and stuff.
Yeah, he's not going to be that kind of a playmaker for you. And I mean, I know the Giants are looking for maybe some more interceptions this season. He may not be that kind of a guy, but he's someone who's going to wreak havoc on a wide receiver. Again, he'll tire a guy out over time. And as you mentioned, he likes to play up on that press. But I mean, I mentioned with the tackling before, one of the other things that impresses me most about him than anything else is that when he is up pressing, and even if he loses like a half a step on the line of scrimmage, he is so good at making that up and being able to reroute a wide receiver, make him be able to play his game on defense and make it uncomfortable. It's, yes, not exactly that kind of a corner you're getting, but somebody who's going to be right there on whoever it is you want to have a tough day on that other side of the football. And with the people that the Giants play, there's no shortage in that.
Yeah, the Giants facing some speedster in the NFC East, Dallas, Washington, Philadelphia. And that was certainly a weakness, keeping up with those fast guys in the division. So Banks certainly somebody who can fix that. Where does he excel though, more so in zone coverage, or is he just more of a man-to-man guy, do you think?
I think he could work either way. I think the reason why the Giants took him is because he fits so well into that potential man-to-man scheme that they could be working with. He's somebody who at Maryland was good in that spot, but again, they was playing more just along on wide receivers in zone coverage a lot in that kind of a scheme. But he's somebody who I think could really excel at a man-to-man level if he polishes things up just right. Because again, he is going to be a little bit of a disadvantage being 6 feet tall. You can only get to so much speed, so much change of direction ability with that kind of size. So if he can really fine-tune that kind of stuff, he can be that kind of an elite man-to-man guy. But at the moment, I see him blossoming more quickly into someone who can really dominate in that zone.
How is his run defense?
Really good. When Maryland was cornerback blitzing at all, it was him who was headed into the backfield. As I mentioned, he's an incredible tackler. He knows how to find gaps in there when he is assigned to get into that backfield. And not even just on the run, too. Like when teams were running like on a third and two, a quick screen pass to the outside, that's something that he was so incredibly good at. Not exactly the same skill set, but being able to get to that spot and make something that looked like it was going to be that gain of three or four to get a first down and just stop someone right in their tracks. He can make a good tackle. He can get into the backfield. He's got some instinct there in a way that some cornerbacks don't going into the NFL. And he's somebody who could definitely wreak havoc in the backfield on both sides of the ball, for the offense, in the offensive backfield, and of course, way deep downfield too as a corner.
This episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk things through. BetterHelp can connect you with the licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you find that your assigned therapist isn't for you, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedon. Having watched him, I know one of the things in his NFL draft scouting profile is that he struggles to play with poise and awareness when his back is to the ball. Have you seen that? Has he gotten better in that regard? What do you think is the issue there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch Maryland week in and week out this season. A lot of Big Ten football going on. But I mean, it's one of those things that is just, I think, something you got to nitpick when you're looking at a first round pick. I don't think it's a huge weakness for him. I don't think it's something he can't learn from. But yeah, when you're talking about first round picks, with just about all of them, they're all expected to be pretty dang good. So when you're talking about what it is that he needs to work on, yeah, that's probably where it's at. But I don't see it as being any sort of big hindrance into his ability to perform on the football field.
What are some of the things that you feel he needs to clean up to really take his game to the next level at the NFL level?
He needs to be able to, I'm trying to think what he'll deal with more at the NFL that he didn't deal with in college. As far as Deonte Banks goes, I'm trying to find it. I'm struggling to find something here. But I mean, again, he's a first round pick, so I don't want to be too harsh on a guy. And mm-hmm. You know, with first round picks, there's always big pros on him. I wish I had a better answer for you. He what you said is right. What the draft analyst said was right. That probably is the biggest weakness on his side. Maybe the back to the ball stuff, maybe not, but just overall decision making and things like that. Maybe need to get a little bit sharper and stuff. But physically, he's all there. He's got everything that you want. It's a matter of fine tuning that alongside with just getting him with the decision making ready to be an NFL corner. That should be having him. I mean, you know more than me, probably as a day one starter on this team.
I mean, and I ask because, you know, all rookies coming out, regardless of where they're selected, they have something that they can you know, fine tune when they get to the next level. So that I'm not trying to nitpick on the guy. I happen to like the pick. And I think he's going to be a good one. He's going to pair up with Adoree Jackson, probably as the two outside starters. But in terms of his demeanor, I don't know if you've had interaction with him or seen him in interviews and whatnot. New York's a very difficult market to play in. How do you think he's going to handle that based on what you know of his demeanor?
As far as handling it with the press, I haven't seen much of, I haven't interacted with him. I haven't seen much of post-game interviews, but I know this kid's a strong, dedicated kid. When you look at the past for this guy, he was, of course, in the pandemic, that team only played 5 games, Maryland. As far as even a shortened schedule, Maryland was one of the shortest just because of the amount of games it had canceled. Then the next season, he comes back and 2 games in, suffers a shoulder injury that ends his season. So going into this season, he had played 6+ football games over the course of the previous 2 years. And to be able to stay that dedicated to it and come in and immediately be a huge impact player leader on this Maryland defense, end up as an honorable mention in the Big Ten. If the New York media rattles him when he's off the field, it's not going to change what he's doing on the field.
Right, right. Do you find him to be at all grabby at the top of his, at the top of, you know, the coverage? I mean, or is he pretty good disciplined with that? Because that is usually, you see that a lot with a lot of young cornerbacks coming into the NFL. They tend to be a little grabby and they're going to draw those little yellow flags if they're, you know, grabby like that.
Definitely. That was something I noticed when I looked at some highlights just over the last day, going into talking to you here today. In the rare spots where he does end up downfield and behind a step and having to make something up, he can definitely get a little bit handsy there. And yeah, that, I mean, if we're going back to weaknesses, that's something you can work on for sure. But it's not something that really, really hurt him at Maryland. Again, the NFL is a different animal. But yeah, it's something that needs to be tweaked for sure. And I'm guessing maybe you asked because you might have seen something similar when you looked at him. But yeah, it's something that I think is something he can improve on, no doubt.
Just going back to zone coverage for a moment here, you know, one of the big things is, you know, successfully passing off your guy to the next zone and whatnot. Based on what you've seen from him in zone coverage, because the Giants will play some zone, is this something he's good at or something he still needs to kind of refine?
He's good at identifying it. He can work with another with the other corner next to him on the side, or not other corner next to him on that side, but linebacker with him and switch up. He's better with obviously working up on the press and then backing up into coverage before a snap after. But as far as that goes, I don't see any problems.
How is he with using the sideline to his advantage?
As I mentioned, he's physical. He wants to push you. He'll use that sideline as a defender, no doubt about it. It's all part of making you uncomfortable. And that is what Deontay Banks' game is. Maybe you beat him. Maybe you get a catch or two. But every other snap of that game, you're going to get bumped around. You're going to feel his presence. And working the sidelines is a big part of that.
I know you've got a big range of players you cover in addition to different teams and whatnot. But what do you know about Banks off the field? What kind of person is he? What kind of teammate is he? Is he a leader? Is he a quiet guy? What can you tell us about us?
I can't say I can speak too much on it, honestly, Patricia. I don't know that much outside of what I see on the football field from him. I'm not watching all the press conferences from Deontay Banks. I would imagine you may have listened to more over the past few days than I've listened to over the past few months with him. There is a lot to cover. So unfortunately, no, I don't have that much on who he is off the field. I wouldn't want to make any assumptions, of course.
Okay. Fair enough on that. And then, you know, just finally, you know, the defense that they play down in Maryland, how similar is it to what maybe the Giants are doing, and what kind of transition do you anticipate Banks will have in, you know, hitting the ground running with the Giants defense?
I know he's confident. He made as much of a quote over the last couple of days, said that he thinks his ability is going to really help him ease into that transition. That's not necessarily the scheme, but he did a lot of the same things at Maryland that the Giants will ask him to do, even if it's not exactly the same scheme. Working up with people on the line of scrimmage, bumping off and making sure that they have pressure downfield while also at that line. That's really his biggest strength, is the fact that he can pressure a guy right off the line of scrimmage and then run with that guy all the way down the field, all in the same play, whether it's your big, strong wide receiver, whether it's your small 5'10", 4'3", wide receiver. He's going to be able to get that done because of what he was able to do at Maryland. And it's not exactly the same defense, but it is a lot of the same assignments and responsibilities. And I do think that he'll be able to transition maybe a little bit easier just because of what they had him doing this season at Maryland.
And also, he's a Baltimore native, so he probably grew up watching the Baltimore Ravens when Wink Martindale was part of, you know, the Ravens, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens for a number of years. So I have to think that maybe that is going to help him.
Before my time, but I believe you.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, it was only a few years ago, so, but, you know. But
before
still,
my time, probably. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, listen, Nate, thank you so much for joining me on the Locked On Giants podcast. Folks, you can find him over on Locked On Big Ten. He is Nate Dickinson, a really good guy, knows his stuff. And Giant fans, don't go anywhere. We're going to have more on today's program right after we take a quick break. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina. And again, all this week on the podcast, we are going to be looking at the individual draft picks in detail. I went ahead and spoke to our colleagues over on the Locked On College Network and got some great information for you. So that's all coming up your way this week on the Locked On Giants podcast. We will, however, interrupt the flow on Thursday because the schedule is coming out. So I have to do a couple of shows on the schedule. But never fear, we've got loads of content coming up. So you will want to keep it here on Locked On Giants. At least I hope you'll want to keep it here to hear all these great interviews that I did over the course of the last week or so. So that being said, we're going to close out today's edition of the Locked On Giants podcast with some listener questions. And again, if you want to submit a question to me, there are many ways you can do it. Number one, you can tweet it to me at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A, and just tag it Ask P-Train so it shows up in my questions queue. You can also email it to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. So that's probably the easiest way if you want to send a longer question. Or if you follow me on Instagram at PattyTraina, P-A-T-T-I-T-R-A-I-N-A, you can send me a message over there. And I do check that a little bit more often than I used to. So hopefully I won't be missing questions now moving forward. So anyway, let's get to a few emails and questions that I got to close out. And we'll close out this episode of Locked On Giants. All right, we're going to start off with a email from James Jeffries. And actually, this is not so much a question. This is more of a request for a shout out. James is one of my everydayers. He was also one of the very first people to leave me a voicemail question for the podcast, which I remember, by the way. I know it was ages ago, but I kind of remember that question. And James writes, you know, I've been following you for a few years, and I love the questions that you ask to Brian Daboll, on when to encourage and when to pop off at a player and finding that balance. And he concludes by saying he can't wait for the season to get started. And James, as an everydayer, here is your shout out, my friend. I told you, if you wrote to me, I would send you a shout out. I know some of you have been writing to me over on YouTube, and I've been trying to respond and give you guys shout outs over there as well. So I appreciate y'all, my everydayers. I mean, means a lot to me. And thank you so much for helping the podcast grow the way that it has. So just wanted to get that in there. We also had a question from Andrew G. He wanted to know, in a nutshell, with the receivers and the cornerbacks, where the Giants seem to have an excess of at those two positions, who might some of the guys that are tradable be? And what kind of compensation would they draw? And Andrew, right now, I can't answer that question because it's too early. I've got to see how they come through training camp because injuries is going to muck the whole thing up. It always does. So, you know, we talk about injuries. Let's talk about, you know, the situation at receiver to start. You've got three guys coming off season-ending injuries, Wandale Robinson, Sterling Shepard, and Colin Johnson. I am not even sure at this point that Shepard and Wandale Robinson are going to be able to participate in training camp, let alone start the regular season. I can see both of them potentially starting the year on PUP. Colin Johnson should be ready to go, but is he going to lose anything in terms of speed? That remains to be seen. So I think we need to wait and see how this all plays out. Now, that being said, if everybody's healthy, yes, it's going to be a good competition. And I could see somebody maybe getting traded. But I can't sit here right now and give you an educated guess as to who, nor can I sit here and give you an educated guess as to what kind of compensation. And it's the same situation, by the way, over a cornerback. You know, I got to see how this plays out. So, Andrew, I would say hold on to this question and check back with me after 2 weeks of training camp. Then I should be able to give you a more informed answer. Because if you know anything about me by now, you know I'd like to give you as informed an answer to your questions as I possibly can. I don't just want to wildly guess, because you're never right when you wildly guess. So that's kind of where I stand there with that question. But thank you, Andrew, for writing in. I appreciate you. You send in a lot of questions and I appreciate you take the time to write. All right. This next one I want to get to is from Mitchell C. And this is actually one that, gee whiz, I missed this one. And I say that because he initially sent it to me over for the Giants Country mailbag. And I know he sent it a couple of weeks ago. And for whatever the reason, when I was going through my email, I missed it. So in as much as I did the Giants Country mailbag over the weekend, and the next one's not until Saturday, I don't want to leave Mitchell waiting any longer on this question. So Mitchell, if you're listening, which I hope you are, my apologies for missing your question. Let me get to it right now. Mitchell wants to know about Yannick Ngakoue. He's not signed. He's a guy who Mitchell believes can be had for a 1 year contract. And especially considering that the Giants haven't really addressed the depth at outside linebacker, might he make a good addition? Mitchell, and since you wrote that question, the Giants did add back O'Shane Zimenez. So they primarily had the same guys back at outside linebacker that they had last year. Yeah, it's the same group that generated, I think, 14 and a half sacks total. I think they're fine in terms of the starters, assuming that they can keep, you know, Thibodeau and Ojulari on the field, which was a little bit of a challenge last year to keep them both healthy. But look, if you're a GM, you're never going to be able to address all the things you need to address in one offseason. It just doesn't happen. I mean, we can sit here and we can say that Joe Shane didn't really find a number one receiver. I think rather than force it, you be patient. You don't want to just panic and throw money at somebody unless you're one player away. And I think the same situation is going to hold true here with outside linebacker. I don't think they're going to pursue Ngakoue. I wouldn't mind it if they did, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Here's why. I think the Giants' approach was to beef up the back end of the defense so that hopefully those guys can hold their coverage a little longer, therefore taking away options for opposing quarterbacks to throw to, thus giving the front seven more of an opportunity to get home with a sack. That's what I think the Giants look to do. They said to themselves, okay, look, the cornerback class was deep. The safety class was relatively deep. Let's address the back end of the defense and we'll worry about, you know, defensive end or outside linebacker. We'll worry about that down the line. So when you think about it, you know, you're going to have Ojulari and Thibodeau at the outside linebackers. I would imagine they'll work in Jihad Ward in some kind of personnel package. And then up front, you got Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams, who are capable of rushing the passer. So it's possible that the Giants think they have enough. And, you know, would they maybe like to add another guy? You know, I'm not ultra crazy about the depth. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I think Jihad Ward can get them some quality snaps, but Ximenez and Ellerson Smith and Tavon Fox, I just, you didn't see enough there to get excited. So maybe that's just something they address down the line, as opposed to worrying about that now. At least that's how I see it. So, but thank you for the question, Mitchell. And again, I'm sorry that I missed it the first time around, and I hope you were able to see it on this podcast. So, all right, Giant fans, that is going to do it for us here on today's episode of the Locked On Giants podcast. Again, all this week, with the exception of maybe Thursday and Friday when I have to do schedule shows, we're going to roll out the individual interviews that I did with the college hosts about the draft picks. So tomorrow I have Nate Dickinson on the podcast. Nate is the host of Locked On Big Ten. And we're going to talk Deontay Banks, cornerback out of Maryland. And that's on the agenda. And then on Wednesday, John Michael Schmitz is the topic. And that will be with Rob Kane, host of Locked On Golden Gophers. So we'll just keep rolling it right out. And I hope you'll tune in to all these episodes. So until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen of the day, or watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Thank you to my everydayers. You are appreciated. To my newcomers, welcome on board. And everybody, we will see you tomorrow here on the Locked On Giants podcast.